to a tunnel of its own, down a hollow to a cavern where the sun has never shone, like a door that keeps revolving in a half-forgotten dream.
With Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to the program. Sorry about Friday. I wasn't feeling too good. And I've got a favor I want to ask you during the program. It's about money. So I'll just leave that alone until we start on our program. I'm not very good at, you know, looking for support for my program. I always feel a little bit awkward. So I'll leave that towards the end, but I've got to start my program with something meaningful. And I enjoy your questions. I like to speak with people. The problem with my program is it's so, in a manner of speaking, negative. In the sense that I'm always talking to you about what's wrong and not about what's right. I know what's right. I can bring you to what really is right simply by showing you what's wrong. And if you can see your mistake where you rarely can, and if you can see it, you still can't fix it. And I need to talk to you about this. And you need to call me about this strange approach to helping people. My name's Roy Masters. I've been on the air for 55 years. This is the 56th year. And I do hope there'll be more others. And there will be if I can get the money to do it. I have to share with you later on, so bear with me if I break on it every now and then. I made a mistake, which is very rare in my 55 years. I might as well say it now to some of you, and I'll repeat it several times because it's so important. However, I got the information. See, I'm staying at my home with my wife, who has a problem, and I'm taking care of her, and she's, thank God, getting better. But I'm stuck here. I only get information from my office. And when I misunderstand the information, I see how much money I have, and then I see how to spend it. Well, I've been spending too much because it wasn't clear. And I'm not going to blame anybody. It just happened. So it's important that you support my program as quickly as you can, because I have two financial pressures, in the manner of speaking. One is for the foundation, and one is for the network. I mean, I have to pay the bill, and I don't have it yet, because there's not enough yet. So within the next couple of days, will make a difference to whether you hear me or not. So maybe I better make that important. And if it's important to you, and important that other people hear what you've heard. This is a basis, a little crisis I'm going through, if you don't mind saying so. So there you are. So within the next couple of days, trust me, if you will, having never heard such a thing on radio before, be just simply honest, I cannot run both. I just thought I had more money than I did. That's it. And therefore, the expenditure followed that. So I have a little choice now, and you have a choice to make. Do you want to support the program? If yes, 800-877-3227. 800-877-3227. I say this to my main stations, not the ones I'm paying for or may not be able to pay for in the future, but I start with you, if you don't mind. So I know many of you already give. I'm only asking you, those who have not yet given a good, honest share of what I've shared with you, with their generosity, not knowing who you are, but knowing that since they were helped, they are gracious enough to pay it forward. And maybe you haven't, and maybe you'd like to give a little bit more if you haven't given a whole lot for a long time. Thank you. So now I will just carry on with my program after the break and sneak every now and then a little hint to support my program. It's a matter of a couple of days. Will make a difference. So, you know, I've never done this before. So, and I'm not so keen on doing commercials for support. I always think it's natural to see that if you're a listener and you know this program is listener sponsored and you don't help, then would you please do it now? Thank you. FHU.com, you can go there, FHU.com/donate, or call 800-877-3227.
Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
And if you don't mind, my dear friends, I want to talk to you about, you know, what I've been talking about for quite a while. About what does being born mean by being born in sin. So let me start in a different way. Do you realize that if you could stay with me on my subject I choose every day, you would follow me all the way to the root of your problems, your personal ones and collectively your national problems, which is about to collapse, like you are about to collapse, into oblivion, if you're not careful, meaning sickness and disease and America. It's like if we don't catch it in time, if we don't catch the disease, the problem which goes on inside your head and does to others what was done to you, see, and you may not realize you're doing it, etc., etc., so they turn around and do something to others, something similar, and vent their frustration in a chain gang of misery. And you can see this as being angry. We weren't born angry. We were born innocent. And hence the chance of salvation. Because, as I've said many times, it's so important to start the program off with this kind of thing. Is that, as preachers talk about salvation, but they keep saying that we're all sinners. And we're not. We're only sinners if we deny that we're a sinner, simply. So if you can see what your problem is, if you're willing to see your problem is, it's pretty ugly. If you really look at your problem in a proper way, the light that gives you the light of your eyes gives you the light of intuition saying, oh, I see that. I see that. Wow, I didn't see that before. And there's a sort of a kind of unsaid thank you. It's unsaid. It's like, wow, I didn't see it. And it's kind of, I'm only doing it because I didn't see it, but what put it there? Why is it when it was put there, I didn't see it being put there? I can tell you that very simple, that the reason why you can't see it put there, because it wasn't too far from the day you opened your eyes and saw the world around you and saw all of the phoniness and cruelty. And, you know, and were intimidated by what you saw. You got angry. You weren't born angry, but you were made angry. So when you see what the world is and you see your mother and father are not princes and princesses, but you're able to see what they can't see about themselves, well, that is disturbing. And the disturbance is anger and resentment. And it turns into judgment, which never stops. And judgment turns into anxiety, et cetera, and compounds itself. And the more you try to fix it, which you don't know what it is that you're trying to fix, the worse you're going to get. So I got a caller from California. Let me just, it's Jerry. We'll be back with him in just a second. I just want to give the phone number, 800-877-3227. 3227. Call me Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. West Coast time. And then you, the rest of you better figure out where you are in the country to call me at that time, because the program doesn't always play at that time, 6 to 9 p.m. West Coast time. But you call me at that time, if you don't mind. Thank you. Now, you're part of my voice, so I'm going to make it stronger, a little stronger and a little wronger, to warn you about your wrongerness. I don't know if that doesn't make any sense, but any wrongerness. And so it's a wrongerness, and you get a bongolus goes with it. I'm saying it. You cannot overcome your own problems except by enlightenment. And enlightenment doesn't mean Jesus loves you as you are. See, it does not work with mechanical behavior and study of verse and chapter. That will not do it. Verse and chapter is very nice, but it has a much deeper depth than just reading it and memorizing it, because then you're only using your monkey brain. So you can recite anything. You can fill your mind with all kinds of things, and you can read the whole Bible upside down and still never find salvation and be further away from it the time you're finished. So the more you read the Bible, in a sense, even though the Bible is wonderful and extraordinary magnetized you, listening to my program. Anyway, let me just catch up with Jerry in California. Jerry, hello, Aubin. What can I do for you? I see it up on the screen, so I know what it is, but you tell me.
There's an older man who sits around in the library out here where I am, and he just talks. I mean, he's not talking, but something is talking through him.
Yes, of course.
It's very obvious.
Yes.
You know, and eventually, you know, one time I was walking past him, and he didn't even see me or anything. I've never talked to him, but the voice speaking through him said, "Come and see me when you get tired of the true religion."
He said that to you, or your mind said it?
No, sir. It came out of this man's mouth. He actually said that.
As you walk by?
As I walk by behind him, and he couldn't see who was there.
Yes.
And I mean, if I ever had any doubt that spirits were talking to him, I didn't have it after that.
Yes, of course. It influenced you.
Yeah.
But if that person, if I was to walk about that person, and I'm speaking from my point of view, which I hope will become yours, yeah. I just hear him speak. And know that he's possessed, and that's a possessed man speaking. With, you know, I might stop and say, "Hey, you know."
Well, see, Roy, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's worse than that. See, it's my conceit, my pride. You know, I thought I could command him. You know.
Yes, sir. I know that. I understand.
I watched him. So I didn't go looking for him, but whenever I saw him, you know, I'd kind of watch him and trying to see where he was about. But the last time I was in there, this was maybe 15 or 18 days ago, he walked toward me a little bit, and then he veered off and walked away again. But I don't know if it was at that moment, or I don't remember it too clearly, but that day I had a voice in my head. Words I heard in my head. I've never had that before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I had it then. I had it then. And it seemed to me, you know, it seemed like a lot at the start. But every day it's been less and less. Yesterday I don't think it said anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when I realized what I'd done, my stupid pride.
Yeah, what did you do? So just be specific.
I didn't do anything. I was,
no, in your head. But it's in your head. What did you do? Did you judge him? Did you?
I must have judged him. I was plotting, you know, to say to him, you know, to yell at him in a loud voice, and like I could do it, like I could throw them out. See, I had that.
Say that again. Say it again.
I had the vanity that I could cast out his demons.
Yes.
And yes. I assume they can tell that.
Oh yes.
Okay. Well, that's what it is.
Crazy people drive sane people crazy.
Yeah.
And that feeds their craziness. Do you understand that?
Depriving me of sanity feeds his craziness.
The crazy people, what you call crazy or possessed.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Crazy is not quite crazy, it's possessed.
Yes.
Okay, that's the real name for it.
I know.
And so you really must be well suited, you know, in presence of such people.
Yeah.
And there are also people in insane asylums who also get infected, but in a sense they become more crazy than the crazy. And they keep them crazy and look down their nose with contempt and feed them their drugs and whatever it is, deep into enjoying every minute of making them worse. One flew over the cuckoo's nest. It really gives a demonstration in reality what is really going on in reality. See,
I have a copy of that little booklet, The Presence of Spirits in Madness.
I have a copy of that, yes.
I've been looking at that the last 2 days.
Yeah, but talking about that, the audience won't be able to see that, so we just better drop that part. Now, the thing is, you want to know how do you fix this, right?
Yeah.
Hold the line then, will you please?
Sure will.
Okay. All right, now, I don't do this usually, but I am in a pickle, and I've never been in a pickle before, but I am running out of money, and it's not what you think. I'll try to explain it to you just a little bit, just quickly. I'm sequestered with my wife who's not well, and she's doing better. So I'm stuck in the house and having to do my work, and I get reports from the office to see how much money is coming in. But the last couple of years, the way it was given to me allowed me to, when I had more money, to do the things that I'm doing now. But then I realized that money is disappearing because I've added it up wrong. And I won't go into it, but I've got myself in a pickle in a sense. I need your help. And you've never heard this before. I own up to it, meaning I didn't add it up correctly. And therefore the expenditures went out. I did things that I shouldn't do, but it would have done if the money was there. And the money was there, but it sucked away silently, and I wasn't watching with all the wisdom I needed. See, I'm not very good at that sort of thing. In 55 years, it's a pretty good shot. So I've got a choice between letting one series of radio programs and holding on to the foundation, or not be able to pay my bills or the salaries to people. Either way, I hurt myself. I got to be able to do something. So that is right to the point. It's not the usual kind of, oh, please help me support my program. It's, I made a mistake. And the information given to me tended towards that. And so here I am with my hat in hand. Thank you very much. Well, I need it in the next couple of days. What's the date today? Anybody know? Is it October 19th? Okay, I've just got a couple of days. That's all. Thank you very much. And otherwise, some of the programs disappear. Thank you very much for... let me give you the address. If you love me, you know, this is very difficult to say this. It's not just I want your support. Of course I do all the time, but it's not enough. I've helped millions of people, and millions of people don't help, but they go about their business and enjoy the things I've done, and most people don't help, and some people do, but not enough. So this is not a great day for me, thank you, but I would appreciate you giving what you can. If you haven't, let me give you address. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. So that you can send a check overnight, that would be great. And it may, I understand that it may take a day or two to get this program to, so that you hear it. But you see, I think what I have is essential. I don't have enough stations anyway to bring my message because of the tardiness of many people who actually get better. So I had a multi-million, I had a multi-million person sitting in the chair here, and he wants to kill his brother. And it's a long, it's a little story, you know, we'll just give it simple explanation. And so he wanted to kill his own brother because he took care of his brother for years and years and years, and the brother got more and more selfish and greedy, and his parents died. And then there was a problem of distribution of funds. And he was, his brother was over greedy and cruel and selfish and mean. And the hostility of being sort of looked down upon, so how he felt being looked down upon. Humiliated by grace. Some people get humiliated by grace. And so I said to him, sit down. And he said, I love my brother. I said, you didn't love him, you spoiled him. You mothered him. He said, you know what? That's true. And he got better immediately. He was possessed. He was possessed like my friend here. And so we shook my hand and walked away, and he's been a sort of friend of the family ever since, never give a dime. I'm not the person to ask for him for that. I think he should have given it. He'd probably lose it sooner or later. And probably people lose it sooner or later because, you know, you got to feed the ox that treads the corn, something like that. So if you haven't, I'd appreciate it. Thank you so much. Now, Jerry, excuse me with this. I had to make that appeal. Thank you. Are you okay over there? Are you ready to go to talk with me again?
Yeah.
Okay. So now you actually had a glimpse in what happens when the person's not crazy, he's possessed.
Oh,
all
no.
Crazy people are possessed. There's no such thing as somebody crazy except it's a disease of the brain. And that's rare. There are such things, and I testify to that. That's fine. But nearly all of it
is what's
going on with you. So even a little boy will hear in his there's nobody in the room, and he sees some money on the dad's table, and it's only a quarter or a dollar, and something says to the little boy, you know, you can buy that little light. Airplane, and he wouldn't know it.
It actually says it in words?
Inside your head, it could say it.
Yeah.
A little boy, so a 4, 5, 3-year-old, can do that. And listen, I had one boy playing Cowboys and Indians, and he's 50 years old. He's 50 years old while he was volunteering, and he told me the story. He says it became so real. You know, that there's really cowboys and Indians, and then I've experienced that where it looked like it was real, and the Indians are coming, and the mind can create illusions, but also can create speech. And this boy was playing with another boy, and something said to this boy when he was young. He never forgets it. He says, pick up that stone and smash his head in. And He picked up the phone, and he picked up the stone, I mean. And then he realized it was wrong, and he dropped it and ran.
Yeah, I discovered you 46 years ago.
So where have you been?
I've been exploring other systems, actually.
But they don't work, do they?
Well, they all have some kind of something about them I don't like.
Yeah, that's right. And what about me? Is there something about me that you don't like, or something that you like about me that you like?
Well, you got a good system.
That's right. But
the conscience,
why?
The conscience is doing what you know is true and right.
I know a man who, just for the hell of it, went round the whole world, every country, and looking for the answers to problems like, you know, I do. And then he comes back and says the only place on earth he's been is a little Jewish boy on radio doing what I do. That's what it is. I'm a Jewish. I didn't have to change my religion because Jesus is Jewish. He didn't call himself a Christian, did he?
No.
So he's still Jewish. Yep. And so I didn't have to change my religion, otherwise I would.
Yeah.
Salvation is from the Jewish people, isn't it right? That's just scripture.
That's saying, yeah.
Yeah, you better believe that too. That's why the bad guys don't like Jewish people.
Yeah. Well, I had an experience a few years ago where I had a discussion with some friends of mine at a coffee shop, and we talked about the Antichrist.
Yes.
That I said that word several times. And when I got home and lay down in my bed here, there was this black mass.
There you go. That's it. That's
it. Up by the ceiling.
Yep.
And I just instinctively, I started saying Jesus Christ over and over. And every time I said that name, it was like that thing got punched in the stomach and it got a little smaller. And I said it 12 or 15 times.
Yeah, but entirely gone. Yeah, but the thing is, you haven't got the whole enchilada yet.
Yeah.
In other words, you're going in piece by piece without knowing what pieces fit in that divine order.
I see.
So have you tried the meditation, the 7-minute one?
I learned on the old record.
No. Just go. I tell you what to do. You call me tomorrow and go to my website or antidoteforall.com, which is the website that contains that meditation, the 7-minute one. The 7-minute one is very, very subtly powerful in a way that there's no religious words that you could argue and remember. It's only like, it's like you stopping me. You want to find a house on a certain street, and you stop a stranger, and he tells you the instructions. Go down that street to Cherry Lane, turn left on Cherry Lane to Orange Lane, and then you'll see an ice cream lane there, and you see a house, there's a blue house, upstairs on the second floor. That's about what you get, but no other spiritual direction. You do this because you tend to be too involved in verses and chapters, and what makes something is, so I am a little bit anxious about, if I may use that word, about me giving you some real good advice. I will give you the good advice, which will be something you will already have discovered if you will follow that meditation called Antidote for All. You can go to the website, my website, fhu.com, or there's another one called antidoteforall.com. But I'd rather you go to my website. That way you can get a download. You can download it on your iPhone and everything like that. They got those I don't know what you call them, because I'm...
Does this thing work on a cassette player?
No, it will talk to you. You don't need a cassette. You just...
Well, it doesn't need a machine to play.
No, you just need a... You can do it by telephone. You need a call tomorrow. I don't have the phone number right now. But you can actually do it by phone. If you call the office, they'll give it to you.
Okay.
All right? And then you call me when you've done that a couple times. Go to the 7-minute meditation. So We have a commercial here, my dear friend Jerry. Would you do that for me?
Yeah, I don't have a computer, so I'm going to have to ask a friend or something.
Oh, I tell you what, you hold the line, and my producer is listening to me, and I'll take another call, and within a few minutes, he will give me the phone number. And then I will give it to everybody who's listening who doesn't have a computer.
Oh, okay.
So you just hang in there on the phone.
Okay.
And he will call in, and he will actually write it on my screen.
Okay,
I'm going to talk to Paul. Would you do that for me, Paul? He's listening. All right, thank you. Let me see now. What do I say next? Oh, yes, I just need support from my audience. I have sort of made some mistakes, and I thought I had more than I did, and I didn't. And so I've got my back against the wall. You see, I do things dependent on what I see is coming in. And so what it boils down to is that and a person at the foundation who gives me a day by day for the last couple of years, many years, a certain a way of telling me what my income is, but the way I read it, it could easily be more than it really is. It looks more than it really is, and we won't go into them the way the structure of my reports to me, because I'm stuck in the house with my wife who's not well, and it's been that way for several months, and she's doing better, thank God, and she'll probably be on this radio program as she progresses and also begins to explain to you how she got to be the way she is, because that's a wonderful thing to share what you've discovered. And it took a long time for me to, but it took a long time for that to creep up, because I'm the husband, and it is more difficult to be when people say to my wife, you know, what's it right to be married to Roy Masters? Well, it's just like a regular. There's a tendency of the women to be a little bit brutish, a little bit, you know, too forward, too pushy. And not see it, and then it becomes different. So you're married to Roy Masters. Therefore, Roy Masters is married to, and the situation of marriage goes on with her and me like everybody else, except I know how to deal with it, and gentlemen don't. That's all. And so, it backfired on my wife and made me a better man. And so that's how it worked. And I'm proud to have been a part of helping. That's it. Support the program as quickly as you can. I made some mistakes in judging how much money we have, and expenditures are beyond now, but I need to stay. I need your support as soon as possible.
Worth the jangle in your head. Why did summer go so quickly? Was it something that you said? Lovers walk along a shore.
You're listening to Advice Live with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
We're going to go to Amelia. I do hope. Amelia, did I sound crazy just now about me trying to raise some money? I hope not. Are you there? Is Amelia there?
Yes, Mr. Masters, good evening.
Good evening, Amelia.
I've talked to you before, and, you know, I just goofed again. I follow your instructions, and it was working beautifully where my husband was about to divorce me because I wouldn't yield to his threats, and I finally yielded once more to his...
Oh, that's terrible.
And it only got worse. Now he tried to choke me and
I see. Yes, I understand it.
And so I'm about to call the police, make a report, and be the one to move out.
Well, you see, you had it going, and you should have kept it going. And you cannot dare, once you're on the path, you don't dare yield one second. A miss is as good as a mile, you see? So, you suffered. You suffered a lot. Listen, can you hold the line a minute? Producer, I hear strange noises. It's... Huh? No, no, that's not her. There's some strange noise. Are you there, Amelia?
Yes, I'm listening, Mr. Masters. I don't want to do the wrong thing. That's why I'm calling you, because I'm tempted. I mean, it's just... I know I messed up myself for being intimidated into divorce, not wanting to deal with life on my own, but the bottom line is that I either do it the right way or the wrong way. Either way, I'm going to be on my own.
But then, if that's the choice, if that's the choice, then you choose on your own in the right way. Correct?
Yes, and that's the choice. I want to make it the right way, and I'm not certain right now. I'm kind of a state of confusion.
Well, the only way you can tell it's the right way, if you have no pressure to do it. In other words, Now, you're in a state of pressure, aren't you? This has put you in a state of pressure. You're giving in where you were winning. Suddenly, you're losing. And the dark side of that person is becoming emboldened and more violent and sort of whoopee with all his anger. See, and whip you with his anger. You actually empowered him to hurt you. Whereby you were doing just... He was getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And if you'd held your ground long enough, he might awaken from his trance. Awaken from his possession. But you didn't. And you're almost... But you see, now you're paying a huge price. It's almost like the dark side of the force is laughing. I got this one, see? See? And so now your problem is multiple. You don't dare play with this journey to paradise lost. You either on it, and if you get on it, and then you allow yourself, you know, just one time, it's all over. However, if you repent of that and hold your ground again, so now it may be impossible. So you really need to get a new start. In my opinion, you might need a good start with other people. So you can practice on lesser foibles, problems. You go out in the world, you get a job, and you're going to find all kinds of people looking down their nose at you and jealous of you or whatever it is, for whatever reason. People do that to each other. They can't help themselves. And you have to look at it as in that sense. See, you can't help yourself now. See, now you became one of them. And your frustration will now look for someone to project it on. That's what happens, or you stuff it. You're a good person, you stuff it, but then the more you struggle, the worse it gets. The more you do unto others what was done unto you, the worse it gets, because you're empowering yourself with a person weaker than yourself. And if you try it on somebody stronger than yourself, they will empower themselves on you giving in. There's no way out of it. There's only a way to meditate properly and mean what you say. Sit quietly and find salvation in be still and know. That's an interesting...
I don't know. Should I go back home and try again and just not give in and let him be the one to divorce me?
I think that if that is possible, and he then starts to irritate you and start to degrade you, and you can stand your ground without swallowing anger, so it just bounces off of you. If you could sit and meditate and get that state of mind, and with a determination that you want to continue, even if they're going, even if he tries to kill you. The truth of the matter is, you, if you are real, you have a shield against that. It's not like dealing with ISIS. And even with ISIS, there's a shield for those. See, Jesus allowed himself to be killed, but he could have decided otherwise, as long as it was in keeping with the purpose of his Father. See? So are you ready to listen to your Father with insight within you and listen to the Father within me talking to you, saying that's possible? You make up your mind.
Yes, Mr. Master, so that means I allow myself to be.
You allow yourself to be spoken of and looked down to, and looking in the face of a lion or a tiger and not flinching, and not flinching without effort. In other words, you need to go around a little bit first and experiment with how you deal with other people. Now, here we go again. I'm talking to Amelia, and she was on the path and dealing with her husband properly, and then only one time she gave in, and then all hell breaks loose. So I'm assuming that, and maybe properly so, that if she meditates again and finds that inner peace, that quietness, so that new energy flows from within, is a counter energy to the energy of the world. Anger and resentment, anger is an energy that evolves hate. I mean, reaction, getting upset, annoyed, irritated, whatever that is it that needs to be overcome, is the root of all your misery. And so with anger and hostility, do you try to defeat your adversary? No, you get worse. If you give in, you make them worse. There is no way out of that until you find the way that sets you free. Find the truth within, but be still. If you have a car and you're going backwards and you want to go forwards, you really have to stop before you go forwards. It's not possible otherwise. So you have to be still, slow down, sit quietly, and distinguish the consciousness. In other words, there's your consciousness or your intuition. The spiritual self is tangled up with your brain. And therefore, the brain, what comes into the brain from the outside, overcomes your attempt to overcome it. It's already overcome. The minute you start to get upset, you belong to the person who does it to you. And then you're open to everybody else who has the same spirit, and they can all irritate you and get inside and do and add to what was done to you until you go crazy and get sick and die from 100,000 different diseases. So I'm trying to say, Armenia, just quickly, ladies and gentlemen, juveniles and crocodiles, there is an energy, a life force, that emerges from within and above, and it's not above the sky. It's within above. That's a realm that is not accessible to animals. They are stress created. And so they run or they fight. And they evolve because they don't die. The ones that died lose. They get eaten. The ones that have strong legs get stronger legs, and they pass it on to the generations, and therefore they adapt to the environment and adapt to the power of that environment to be what they are. But human beings cannot be like the animal. If you are born innocent, I'm trying to tell this lady, and Tom is going to be next. I'm trying to tell this lady, Amelia, that what she's looking for is an energy field from within that flows through her with a certain music, a certain tone, a certain frequency that cleanses, that separates the soul from the intellectual brain. And therefore, if it's entangled with the brain through emotion, then you have anxiety following you all the way to the grave. And you become addicted to becoming an animal with a dark side as a human. And this dark side feeds and becomes on you and your essence, and you become weaker and it becomes stronger. And then you die from God knows how many different diseases, or suicide, or murdering somebody that you shouldn't. Murder is up. Anger is it. Frustration and not knowing what to do. If it's not flushed out from the inside through repentance, and repentance, there's a way to it, a longing to it. But the point is, where is the key to that? Where do you find it? Where do you go? Do you go to church? No. Do you go to synagogue? No. It's been lost there. All you get is a person. This program is a person. But I'm not looking for you to look to me for answers. The answers are within you, as the answers are for me within me. And my answer does not answer to pressure. My answer does not answer to pressure. It doesn't answer. It doesn't recognize it as authority. And you have to be able to, that is how it works. You change bosses. You change from the spirit of the world to the spirit that made the universe. And that dark side in people hasn't got a chance. Not only that, by holding your ground, you can actually awaken the person who's trying to upset you, because it takes more and more to upset you, and the more it tries to upset you, the more it expends its energy, and the more it gives you the temptation whereby virtue can come. So don't be afraid of temptation. Go through it. Don't yield to it. Stay cool. You don't have to do anything, because something good is going to happen through you, whether you can see it or not. Just trust that calmness that comes over you. There's nothing for you to do, nothing. Neither can you be tempted. All right, now we're going to go, just commercial time, just let me just... Amelia, did you understand what I was saying? And then I'll go to my next call.
I understand everything perfectly. I just want to ask you if you would please have 2 minutes for my son so he can cope with this situation better. He's right there here next to me.
How old is he?
Nine years old, and he's talked to you before, and you gave him awesome info that he has used.
Well, what's his name?
Walter.
Huh?
Walter.
How do you spell that?
W-A-L-T-E-R.
Welcher?
Yeah,
Walter. Oh, Walter. Lead me to the altar. I get it. Okay. Hello, Walter.
Hello, Master.
Hello, Bean. How are you doing? Good. You see what happened to Mom when she yielded to temptation?
Yeah.
You know what? See, she now is in trouble, but she'll be fine. She will be. I know that. She's your example, but she's lost her way. Don't let that upset you. Are you okay?
Yes.
Okay. So, are you not angry with your mom?
No.
You're okay then. You don't need me. You're going to be just fine. Just be a guide to your mother. So let your mother talk to you, and there's wisdom that will come out of you that will guide her. Be the man that your father wasn't. Can you do that?
Yeah.
So when your mother starts to cry, don't be sorry for her. That doesn't help. When you're sorry for a person, it only makes them worse. It makes you fake. Sorry doesn't help anybody. Being too nice to people, being helpful, saying, it's going to be all right, don't worry, it's not ever going to be true. All you need to do is look at your mother's suffering and don't suffer from her suffering. That seems like that doesn't seem to be fair. But if you have emotion about that and you have compassion, whatever it is, it's only going to feed the problem. But if you can stay calm, your mother needs your calmness, and she needs that little boy in you that is still innocent, and she needs to hear the voice of God in you talking to her. And so therefore, you will give her the answer, which is, I say to you, stay calm, Mom. Find your Creator, do the Roy Masters little meditation again. Be still and know. Do you think you can do that?
Yeah.
And give her good information that I don't know what it's going to be, only you will know it. It will come to you. It will come to you to tell her.
Like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever spinning reel.
You're listening to Advice Live with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Hello, here we are now. We're going to go to Tom in New York now. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Roy. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. I enjoy myself helping people.
Yeah, well, someone recommended that I do some research and talk to you a little bit, and told me to listen to your radio station, so here I am.
Okay, well, see, what kind of physical problems did you receive when you had the car accident?
I actually was coming home from work, and I didn't have any physical problems. It was the individual that I hit. I wasn't drinking, doing drugs. I wasn't texting. I just
Whose fault is it?
Whose fault is it?
Yeah, whose fault
Nobody.
Is it? Nobody's
fault.
No fault. It was just an accident, both of you.
Right.
So now, you survived it without any damage to yourself?
I'm mentally screwed up.
Mentally.
I guess that's...
Only one reason you resented that person. For some reason, you resented him, that person who was involved in the accident with you. You got upset. You may have not at the time. You may not at the time, but you got later on when you thought about it. You got upset. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah, I died.
Yeah, so therefore, what you need to look at is your judgment to that other person.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, you tend to get upset by things, in not just car accidents, but just in everything. So this time you meet your Waterloo, because it's a big thing, and you may have had a nice new car or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Say that again?
You might have probably had a nice new car, or had a car you really liked.
It was just a regular van that I took care of, and it meant something to me.
And that's what I'm saying. It meant too much to you. You can say, why don't you just say goodbye to it and get another one? See, you took too much personal pride in your possession.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tendency to be attached to things. When you're
right.
So that tells me that you had problems before that, so that you tend to attach yourself to things and stuff for security, a sense of becoming, having. And so, but what you have that way has you, and when it gets hurt, when somebody breaks your fender, it's like breaking your arm. You're identified with it, and therefore you respond to the. To the car, as if it was happening to you, by breaking your arm. And so that comes the anger. Attachment, what you need to do is let your attachment go, and you'll be okay. In other words, let it go. Let it go, and stop being angry for losing your car, and it's meant so much to me. It means nothing to you. What means something to you is that you can let it go, and let that man go as well. And you'll be free. And let that be forever. See, I got myself a little problem. I can't blame anybody, really. But I got a little financial problem because I misunderstood. The information was given me, so I ran out of money, or running out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just saying to my audience, after 55 years, I've never done this before. I always had plenty to do, and I was wise with my business. But when I got information of how much money was coming in, and I thought it was what it was, but it was much less, I had committed to things that I, you know, had to pay for. And then it's between the foundation and my commitment. I have to pay my commitment, but then the foundation goes down. Or, you know, vice versa. So I talk to my audience, and I'm saying, please support in the next couple of days. I made a mistake. I didn't sin. It was a mistake. Mistakes are not sins. It's a sin if only if you excuse it. So there I am. So support my program in the next couple of days. And we get over it and keep it coming. So I stay over it because I do need the money I need in order to help save this country and the people in it first. I can save this country only by saving the people that are in it. And I have to save them just like I do, save them from their country, like I have to help save you from your car. Because you right. identify with your car. And well, you identify with what's going on around you.
I don't identify with the car.
But it meant something to you.
I hit with the car, but I really had no attachment to it.
You actually contradicted. You said you had words for it, if I can remember it. It was meant something to me.
Because someone gave it to me.
And who was the someone? Who was the someone?
It was from a neighborhood friend of mine when I didn't have a job and I needed a car. He gave me the car.
And so you really love that man. You appreciate it. It means something to you. But it means
right.
too. But the trouble is, it means too much. Your friend does not want you to go crazy and sick because someone banged into you. If he's your friend, he said, "Listen, mm-hmm. you know, it's okay. You'll get over it. And if you get over it, you become a better person. If you don't get over it, you get worse."
Right.
It affects your behavior. And it affects your behavior, you're likely less likely to find a job. It reeks of it.
Right.
See, so you really need to let it go. You need to call your friend and say, "I'm really sorry about it. There was a wonderful car you gave me. I was so attached to it. I got a little bit sick. I just want to tell you thank you very much, though. As your car's no good anymore, but we're still mm-hmm. friends." See that? And right. he'll understand that. Don't let the car become part of possess you. Don't
okay.
let the car, don't let the loss of... Listen, I've lost lots of money. I mean, I had a lot of money. I had very little, but I spent it all. All's good, though. But the point is, nothing in my life, no matter how tragic it's been, dangerous, has moved me to anger and resentment. That's so. This is just one little piece of temptation to set you on a path to virtue. Okay, all right. So, ladies and gentlemen, just quickly, you see, I'm in a pickle, and so I've got a couple of days to make up for. Not my losses, because it's nothing to do with loss. It's expenditure that I thought I had the money to do what I needed to do to make the world a better place, and to find out that I didn't have that money. I looked at the income differently the last couple of years. It was the way it was presented to me because I'm sitting at home away from office and getting information and running on that and sort of messing it up. And that's all I can tell you. So support me if you will. Thank you. That's the best I can do. Otherwise, you have a second hour coming up.